Okay, let's get it. It is Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST, and glad to have you hanging out with us here every weekday for the Locked On LSU podcast. If you're new to the podcast, I find out every day there's new people who are listening and downloading and subscribing every day. Think of this as AFR, my three-hour daily radio show, into about 20 minutes. So try to hit the high points, get in and get out. You'll hear from LSU Athletic Director Scott Woodward, and we are now 5 days away from the early signing period. Excuse me, 6 days away from the early signing period. It'll be Wednesday, the 18th. Another LSU decommitment. What does it mean? We'll delve into all of that. But it is award season. Today is Thursday, December the 12th, and the College Football Award Show is tonight in Atlanta at the College Football Hall of Fame. So there are a slew of Tigers up for awards that we'll get into here shortly. Couple of other tidbits that we know, however, Ed Ogeron has claimed one National Coach of the Year award already. ESPN puts out their All-America and National Awards list, and ESPN has named Ed Ogeron its National Coach of the Year. Ed is up for the George Munger Award. He's up for the Eddie Robinson Award, also National Coach of the Year award. So he will take home a slew of them, and justifiably so. With by the way, with winning ESPN's Coach of the Year award, Ogeron earns a $50,000 bonus. That's added to the $25,000 bonus he owned for being the AP SEC Coach of the Year. So he has now maxed out his coaching recognition incentive compensation portion of his contract. He's also going to get $500,000 for 12 regular season victories and an additional $200,000 for winning the SEC championship. Basically, if LSU goes on to win the national championship, Coach O is going to max out a $1.2 million in incentives. So it has been a lucrative, successful season, and it will be a very Merry Christmas at the Ogeron House, no doubt, this year. We'll get into the awards that are going to take place tonight in just a second. The Hornig Award was announced on Wednesday, and that did not go to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, as we were hoping. Instead, it went to Kentucky's Lynn Bowden. Bowden is kind of an amazing story. He was a receiver at Kentucky. They had a slew of injuries at quarterback. So Bowden transitioned from receiver to running an option style or read option style offense at quarterback. And as the starting quarterback, led Kentucky to 5-2 in a bowl game, in a seven game starting in a bowl game. So certainly deserving. I thought Clyde Edwards-Helaire would have an amazing opportunity to take home that award because he had splashed so big on the biggest stages, and certainly the Alabama game being the biggest when he had the four touchdown day. But Lynn Bowden, very, very deserving. Couple of other tidbits here. Christian Fulton has accepted an invite to play in the Senior Bowl. So LSU senior defensive back, who, of course, as we know, missed about a year and a half due to a suspension, was made eligible before last season, and of course has played his senior year this year. Christian Fulton will play in the Senior Bowl next month. It's January 25th at Ladd Peebles Stadium in Mobile. And Fulton's going to have a great opportunity to increase his draft stock and quite possibly be a first-round draft pick, as pretty much everybody has him among the top five cornerbacks in this year's draft. So a great opportunity for Fulton to go play in the Senior Bowl. As for tonight, let's keep an eye on the College Football Awards. Joe Burrow is up for both the Davey O'Brien and the Maxwell. The O'Brien goes to the best quarterback in college football. The Maxwell goes to the best player in college football. Ja'Marr Chase is up for the Biletnikoff. LSU has not had a Biletnikoff Award winner since Josh Reed in 2001. So he'll have a great opportunity to win that, going head-to-head with CeeDee Lamb of Oklahoma. Of course, the two will play in the Peach Bowl coming up on December the 28th, excuse me. And Grant Delpit is up for the Thorpe, which goes to the best defensive back in college football. So we're going to get an opportunity to see a lot of LSU players possibly take home some hardware tonight on the College Football Awards show in Atlanta. And they'll very likely have to build a new wing to the new football ops building to make room for all of the hardware that LSU is going to claim this year. So congrats to all the winners so far, and good luck to the rest of the Tigers that'll have an opportunity to take home some more hardware tonight. Okay. We'll chat. I had a chance to visit with LSU Athletic Director Scott Woodward. Talked about a variety of topics, including Joe Brady, Dave Aranda. Might we see field turf in Tiger Stadium? The LSU AD answers that and more next. Locked On LSU, your team every day. We continue Locked On LSU, your team every day. Had a chance to visit with LSU Athletics Director Scott Woodward about a variety of topics, including Joe Brady, Dave Aranda, alcohol in venues, the possibility of field turf, a Joe Burrow Heisman statue. But we started by just the opportunity for Scott Woodward, after sort of being up in Washington and then at Texas A&M, to actually be an open LSU fan again.
Matt, I had to pinch myself in the morning, and it's been great for me because, all honor to the kids and to Coach O and the staff. I'm just here to help, and I didn't have a damn thing to do with it, and I'd rather personally be lucky than good because these guys had a magical year. I'm just glad I got to be a part of it.
Man, what a year to be back, though, to see all this unfold. I mean, I would think, I don't know, this might be an impossible question to answer, but if you go back to when you took the job, like, could you have imagined just setting foot down and then seeing where the program was, where the athletic department was, that this year could be the way it's gone?
It surprised me, even me, Matt. And I love ball and love football. I thought we were lacking maybe a little bit in a couple areas. And it even surprised me how it just all came together. I mean, it was really, really amazing.
You know what? We talk a lot about on the show about how the athletic department in many instances is sort of like the window to the university. You were here in 2003 when the transformation happened and LSU won the national championship. Do you remember, or can you lend some perspective on how long the university, the athletic department as a whole, sees like tangible benefits to a season like this?
It's even gotten more so, Matt, even from then. Just how much, it changes the university's feel, the community's feel, everything. It's just, on an even exponential level from back in 2003. It was new to us back then, and with the way things are so ubiquitous with social media, it's just that, on hyperspeed, and it just matters. I mean, it matters to a lot of schools, and that's why, we're in a fortunate position to be definitely a self-sustaining entity, and a lot of schools pay a huge subsidy out of their academics that to subsidize their places because it still does matter and it adds value.
Scott Woodward's with us, LSU Athletics Director. Brady and Aranda have been in the news this week. How hands-on are you with those types of decisions, contracts, and things like that?
I like to really be there to support my coach, and it's Coach Ogeron's operation to run, and he leans on me a lot, and whenever he needs me to do it, and we are, collaborative and have been collaborative from the very get-go, and we've been talking about this for months, prepared for it, and we just go about it like partnerships do and would, and it's just been great so far. And our philosophy is that, hey, if one of our coaches is doing something really well and wants to take it to the next level as a head coach, we're going to support them and do what they can do, even though deep down we don't want to lose them, but we're going to help them. And from that standpoint, we're going to do what it takes. Same thing when we have an up-and-coming coach that we need to really reward and support. We're going to talk about it early and often and get it done where it's not going to be scrambling, hopefully, at the last minute, even though, best laid plans sometimes go off foul.
Specifically with Joe Brady, Ed Ogeron gave you all the credit for coming to him a couple of months ago to sort of foresee that this might happen. And it sounds like, I don't know that you can talk numbers or anything like that. If you want to, you certainly can. But you a fishing analogy. I threw the lure in the water. I don't know. You kind of chuckled it off.
I'm going to make you pay the delta if I have to go higher. So
understood. I'll abstain as well. But can you... Has there been an example in your career where you've seen something even remotely similar to Joe Brady's ascent in such a relatively short amount of time?
Really, we haven't. I mean, it's special. I mean, obviously, Lincoln Riley is something that people have watched, and we always forget because they've been through so much now. But Ed was on the staff with both Sarkisian and Kiffin when they were young gurus, and. But not like this. I mean, this guy just meteoric rise in a hurry, and it's legit. And I've watched it closely. Coach has watched it closely, and this guy has the chops. I mean, I'm really, really impressed with the job that he's done, not only as a coach but as a manager and as a member of a team. And that's really important That's important to Coach O.
Scott Woodward was with us for a couple of more minutes. You know, it's interesting because, say, 4 or 5 years ago, this was Dave Aranda, who was the guy that everybody wanted, and LSU made a huge investment in keeping him. When it comes to other schools sort of pursuing Dave, as it looks like it's happening right now, what's your position on what you're willing to do if it's more money or resources, whatever it may be, to keep Dave around?
Well, you know, it's a discussion Coach O and I have, and my philosophy is, hey, look, we can't get crazy and we can't, you know, do anything like these guys hitting the lottery, but we got to get to where we can pay market because that's fair. And if they're doing a great job for us and we need to surround our kids with the best in the business, we're willing to do that. Like I said, not crazy, but close and fair to market.
All right, I got a couple more things. Number one, any chance we get field turf in Tiger Stadium?
No.
Never?
Never.
Man, is that just like pushback from like the old timers?
No, it's just people, and there's just people and kids and coaches just prefer it, and I'm one of those. It's just I think it's a healthier product. That it's, who knows, the science is not complete on it, but it's just kids respond better to it, and we just like it. I think it's just a much much better product for football.
Okay, concessions. We saw the numbers for alcohol sales in Tiger Stadium. Have you all done any projections for Alec Box, for the PMAC, on general seating alcohol sales?
We have, and I'd be lying to you if I knew the numbers off the top of my head, Matt. But we expect them to be robust and good. And here again, you know, I mentioned to some folks that we didn't do this for the money, even though we like the money. We did it for fan amenities and to let people experience a great atmosphere. And the good news for us is on our preliminary data for behavior, Matt, is that it looks really good for fan behavior. It looks like it's gone down. The incidents have gone down with beer sales, and we don't know what that's attributed to, but, you know, that's a good correlation if that is the case.
We hear that so often. I'm glad to hear it as well. How many people are hitting you up for tickets for the national championship game? Because I need four. I need four. Lower, you know, level, preferably sideline. If you give me four, I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely.
We have you on record, by the way, with that. Is this going to be one of the more?
I'm going to send you straight to Mr. Foster. You can get it out of his allocation.
You know what? I think I could probably swing. But does this compare at all? Like from what you remember back in 2003, it was so new then, but it's been 8 years now for LSU. Does it feel similar to 2003?
You know, it doesn't, believe it or not. You know, this 2003 was kind of like, you know, you weren't expecting it. You know, we were always expecting, you know, the 2005 team, you know, we were projecting the 2005 team to be the one, and it kind of came out of nowhere. This one, man, I can tell you, when we started rolling halfway through, I said, look out. And this one just has the magic of an undefeated season, of just a special player, and Joe, no offense to Matt Malk or Matt Flynn, but this thing is, like, magical. And I just think, hey, if we can hold on and take care of our business and do what we're supposed to do, it could be one of those fairy tale endings.
Yeah, it would be spectacular, punctuated with a Heisman and a national championship. By the way, just let me know where to send the check for the Joe Burrow statue, because I think a lot of people are ready. A lot of people, I'm serious about that, because yeah, I think a lot of people are ready to contribute to something like that.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, and it'll be well deserved.
As we wrap up a Thursday edition of the Locked On LSU podcast. LSU got a decommitment from Major Burns, a four-star defensive back from the Baton Rouge area at Madison Prep. And so I chatted with Shea Dixon of Go247, who's just the best if you need recruiting news. And the oddity is normally a week before signing day, if you have a decommitment, there's a lot of anxiety. But it feels like it's actually the opposite, because it appears as though LSU is trimming from the bottom to add major national prospects, so they're just adding room. Every time you see a decommitment, it's sort of this feeling like, okay, well, they got a major national prospect on board. Started our conversation with Shea Dixon there.
Well, I think it's a little bit mixed. I mean, we've all known that LSU, like anybody, can only sign 25 guys between December and February, and the December early signing period is approaching quickly. It'll be next Wednesday to Friday And you'll see the bulk of the guys go ahead and sign with the school on Wednesday. So we're a week out, you know, a little more than 8 days out from that happening. And now you see another guy come off the commitment list. It's because, obviously, look, LSU and Major Burns have had a discussion about, look, you want to go ahead and enroll and sign next week. We may not have room for that to happen, and Burns will end up playing somewhere else, in a big school. He'll end up at an Oklahoma or a Texas A&M or somewhere like that, schools that were recruiting him previously. So you would think then, yes, that LSU is lining up to add more guys, and I think that's the case. But also, when you're recruiting at this high of a level and you put together a class that is this good, you really don't have many guys on the list who aren't SEC caliber players. And Burns is certainly that, someone who is going to end up at a big school and be a really good cornerback. But I think for them, they're not going to go for another cornerback, or they would have kept him. They're going to use it on a different position.
Shay, walk me through, if you would, how many decommitments they've had in this class, say since the season started, really since this run began.
Okay, it's really funny that you asked, because I was about to look at that the same. Since the season began, we know that Jalen Lee out of Live Oak, and then Alec Bryan out of Texas, and now Major Burns have all decommitted at different points. And then I believe we'll see one or two more of those happen, and maybe three. Look, Malcolm Green, a kid they have committed and they want to sign, is probably going to stay on the East Coast and go to Clemson. He's still part of the commitment list right now. And then you look at two other guys, and it's probably going to be LaRondo Johnson, a kid out of Texas who is a four-star DB, kind of a nickel type, who's already said, look, I'm looking around at other schools. I'm probably not going to end up signing with LSU. And then that'll put them right around 21 guys, I would say, committed. Is that enough spots? Do they have one more guy decommit on them? We'll see. But from the start of this class to the end, I guess, Matt, every kid that's ever committed until now, I think they've had, I know they've had them looking at the list, 11 decommits. Now, some of those guys they wanted to sign. For instance, one of them they will sign, Jaquelin Roy. He was committed to LSU and then decommitted, looked around, and committed again. McKinley Jackson was committed early, and he won't sign until February, and he's got LSU in the mix. So you kind of have a blend of different reasons why guys have decommitted and maybe ultimately come back or gone elsewhere, but they are into double digits, and it's just the case of kind of how high they're recruiting or the level they're recruiting now versus the level they were recruiting 2 years ago when they started this class.
He's on Twitter at Shay Dixon. So as it stands right now, 23 commits, 23 known commits, correct?
That is correct.
So a week from today, of those 23, how many does LSU expect to sign?
I think 20 would be in the range you're looking at. And we know that Cameron Jackson, one of the commits, has said he's holding off till February. So you wouldn't sign him next week. And then I don't expect LaRondo Johnson or Malcolm Green to sign. So that would be at 20. I think LaRondo Johnson will pick a different school. And I think that Green, who LSU and Clemson are both well aware, is probably going to end up swinging his commitment to Clemson and staying on the East Coast. And LSU sort of already prepared accordingly for that. So that's what, minus three. If they have another guy, it wouldn't surprise me. So of that current group, let's say 19 of them sign next week, but they could be seeing more than that, Matt, obviously, because Phillip Webb, one of their top, targets, is an edge rusher, announces and signs next week. Jordan Birch, five-star, top uncommitted defensive lineman in the country, will announce and sign next week. And so will Marcus Dumervil, the top offensive tackle in the country, who remains uncommitted and is firmly in the mix for LSU. Obviously, we've talked about a bunch on your show. I think on Wednesday he announces and will sign with the school. So we could see them in the low 20s coming out of this signing period, three-day stretch. Maybe 21, 22, even 23 signees if they get everybody they're looking for.
All right, Shay, let's operate under the assumption they get Webb, Birch, and Dumervil. They get those three. So that would put them at either 22 or 23 signed prospects next Wednesday. And I'm not holding you to this. I'm just kind of playing out a hypothetical here, okay? Let's assume that happens. So they're at either 22 or 23 signed a week from today. What are their targets for the from December to February? Is it position or is it player specific?
Well, think it could be both. I mean, position and player specific would fit one and the same with McKinley Jackson. They want defensive linemen, and he's not even making his LSU official visit until January. He's got a couple of others in there as well, and then we'll announce in February on signing day, that first Wednesday. So he'd be one. I would say they need a running back in this mix, and whether Zach Evans announces at the Under Armour game in January and then signs in February, or signs next week and nobody knows about it and they keep it quiet until the Under Armour game, you know, that remains to be seen. But they're in the mix for him and then some other running backs. They want to come away with a running back. So I think maybe position specific would be the way to describe that. And other than that, it's looking best available. Or if somehow the dominoes don't fall the way you want, do you contemplate leaving February, going past signing day without 25 signees, meaning you can entertain a graduate transfer?
Is a grad transfer quarterback an option for this class?
I mean, it's not an option. There'll be guys out there, and you know, I don't think that right now. I haven't heard anything definitive on that. No, are they weighing every option? I'm sure they are, Matt. You know, I think that they're seeing who's out there at not just quarterback but other positions. That won't, you know, quarterback isn't the only position that they're losing a starter, obviously. So do they look at other guys? Do you need someone on the O-line who might be a little bit more ready to play? But then again, you don't really know those options right until January. You know, after bowl season is when guys usually say, hey, I'm either coming back for spring ball or I'm going to go somewhere else to do it. So maybe then we get a better feel. But right now, I think it's pretty much just a focus on, can we get to 25 or as close to it as possible with the, you know, the kind of top guys we have on the board?
Would potentially look, I mean, everybody obviously is wondering about De'Arik King from Houston. Would any potential contact there affect TJ Finley or Max Johnson, the committed quarterback prospects in this class?
No, because a guy like that or any graduate transfer, really, and I guess that's not completely true. Burrow had 2 years, but most of those guys are one and done guys or just looking for a final landing spot. And I don't think Finley or Johnson feel that they're starting next year. No one's leapfrogging Brennan of kids that are coming out of high school. So no, I don't think that would matter for either of those guys. Both those have told us we're signing with LSU next week.
If you want to hear our full interviews with Scott Woodward, Shea Dixon, or anything from After Further Review, you can hear it at 1045ESPN.com. Just hit the on demand tab After Further Review and there we are. A College Football Award Show tonight. On tomorrow's episode, we'll have a full recap of that, and we'll preview Saturday's Heisman presentation with Joe Burrow, expected to hoist the award. Until then, it is Locked on LSU. Your then it is Locked on LSU.